this is a true reflection of what took place, can we then have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the report? Honorable Mabaso.
Correct, Chair. I wish to move for the adoption of this bill. The way it's written, the way it's expressed, is a true reflection. But I just want us to look under page 2, under point 3. There is just a small word there. If we can just help each other to check if it is properly written. The word that says citing, that's point 3 on page 2, second line of point 3. Committee may have citing. So it looks something doesn't read well there. That amendment, I move for the adoption, correct, Chair?
Thank you. Can we have a seconder? Honorable Mutembo.
I second the adoption with the amendment made.
The Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development has adopted the report, the undesirability report on red tape impact assessment bill. Thank you. Adopted with the amendment. Cited. Thanks. Then the report will be on the ITC. Can we then move to the next item, which is the briefing by the Department of Small Business Development on its fourth quarter performance report.
Good morning, honourable members, chairpersons. Chair, I'd like to just start with your indulgence on to correct a statement I made last week, and I don't have the minutes of the meeting, and we don't participate in that. I reported to the committee that on our the methodologies that we had used initially on the 400 cooperatives, and that we had the report that the support we expected from CEDA did not materialize, that I had asked the CEO before we came here whether she had seen the documents, information that had come from CEDA, and she had indicated at the time that she didn't. Between last week or in the next few days after we had been here, the CEO indicated to me that the CEDA's performance on the assignment was dependent on additional information which should have been provided by our department. I did not know when I sat in this meeting last week that the information, for example, the information that they wanted initially, they just got, say, the name of one person at the cooperative and one contact number, and so when they couldn't find that person, they obviously could not locate the cooperative. or get to do the work. We had agreed in a meeting after, I think, the day after the 24th of May when we were here with the committee, that the additional information would be sent by the department. So it would appear that the department did not send the additional information of more identifying details. So what I want to put on record is the co-responsibility of the department. Both the CEO and I did not know about it. And I also think that our, and we haven't had the time to do an engagement with our managers, because there was both an executive manager of CEDA present in the planning meeting and the acting DDG, and neither of them escalated the problem to myself or the CEO to correct that. So I thought I must just put on, it wasn't comfortable, I think, as the DG to do a colloquial expression, to throw your entity under the bus, so I wanted to correct that, to say that we are co-responsible for that. Can I go ahead, Chief?
Honorable Mabasa?
The explanation is sound, Chair, and expressing appreciation for the explanation.
So, Chair, I think I want to, what I forgot to say, I wanted to apologize, but I wanted to say it was, there's no intention to mislead the committee. I reported on the basis of what was available to us at the time of the meeting.
Thank you. I also think that it is a good thing to do, to apologize and not to be sent to be shifting the blame. Thank you for that, DJ. Can we then move to the presentation?
Thank you, Chair. We will, Chair, I assume that the 45 or the 30 minutes that has been allocated is for the reports of all of the portfolio, shall I say, of the department and the entities. So we will not read every word on the presentation. We will first do ours, and then the CFO will present their sections, CEOs of the two entities. And my colleagues will assist me with our information. We've agreed how we would do that. I'll do sections 1, 2, and 3 as in the outline, the CFO will speak to the financial information, and we will do a bit of a orchestra. Yes, Chair. Chair, I won't read the words on slide 5, but it's just how we've adopted it, we approached it. It's on quarter 4. We will talk to the variances and the challenges faced by the department and the corrective action. The slide 7, Chair, is just a reflection on governance. And I think the only thing that is significant there is that we had one less executive committee meeting than planned. I think in retrospect, we should not schedule a meeting for the 1st or the 9th of January, because invariably people are on leave, and the meeting of the 6th of February was not a normal EXCO meeting. It was replaced by a strategic planning meeting. Slide 8, Chair, we give an account of our compliance obligations and the dates on which we reports to the committee, to EXCO, to the minister, to the audit committee, and then to the portfolio committee. Slide 9 is significant, Chair. It provides a summary. We had 38 performance indicators, and we're reporting that we had 37 quarterly targets, and if you've seen that slide, we achieved 29 or 78%, 78.4% of the targets. We partially achieved 2, and we did not achieve 6 of them. And what, just to explain something that's not on the slide, we achieved would be 100% and above, which is the case in some instances. Partially achieved is between 75 and 99, and not achieved is below 74% performance. So if you look at so it means that there's significant effort that went into particularly the ones that have been partially achieved, and therefore I would argue that there is then a correlation between the performance and the budget. You will see that the expenditure by the end of the, in respect of the fourth quarter, was 89.2% of the budget. We then pick up some highlights, Chair, and NEBUS is the training for informal businesses. We had a quarterly target of 2,500 and trained 4,436. We the number of jobs that were supported under CIS and BBSCB were 315 and 2,112 respectively. The CEF applications, we're quite proud of the CEF applications this year Chair. We approved 2 in the fourth quarter. Honourable members will remember that last year we were not able to conclude any of the CEF approvals. We also, in the fourth quarter, had IDP engagement together with COCTA and the Free State Economic Development Department in March with 4 district municipalities, as mentioned in the sub-bullet points on that slide. We also concluded 3 marketing partnership agreements, Chair. The first 2 in particular are opportunities for market access for cooperatives, I think in the next 6 months to a year, we would be able to report to the committee what the impact of that is, and the teams are already working on implementation plans. I know that Nestle is active, and the UN Women Partnership, in particular, they focus on training women in the informal sector, and it is this partnership that assisted us in exceeding the first target we have mentioned on NEBUS. EIP, Chair, is our enterprise incubator program, and this is something that we are piloting this year, and we are particularly interested in businesses that are market ready. And honourable members will remember that last year we were not able to approve a single incubator because the budget for it did not sit with us. In the year that's passed, 2016-17, we were given money for EIP, and we were able to approve those 4 incubators. We also report on the training that were given to cooperatives, where we also exceeded the target of 50 by training 81 cooperatives, and concluded an MOU with the China International Small and Medium Enterprises Fair. We have been asked, we agreed to co-host the fair with the agency, the 14th fair, and we will provide an opportunity to take 110 SMMEs to exhibit their products in one of the biggest international fairs focusing on SMMEs and cooperatives. We also, another a bit of our international work, there's an organization called the Indian Ocean Rim Association, IORA, and we were very pleased to plop to be part of a team that crafted MOU on cooperation among Aora states on promoting SMME trade amongst SMMEs and the capacity of SMMEs and member states. On the mainstreaming targets share, you'll see in this slide we say it was preliminary because we paid particular attention to the evidence around this. And throughout the year, we reported that we achieved the targets. You will see that for the quarter under review, at the time when we prepared this report, we underachieved on rural enterprises. But later in the presentation, we then say that there were challenges with this, and we explain that a lot further. Essentially, Chair, it was a new target that we introduced this year to mainstream this, but what we failed to do was to plan properly how we would do it and our data, the integrity of the data collection instruments that we would use for this. The areas where we didn't perform well, the areas that were marked red on slide 9, pertained to the number of cooperatives supported through CIS, where we only funded 43 instead of 45 targets, and it had to do with still our dependency on the IT, the mainframe of the DTI, and the systems that are not being transferred. But again, Chair, this is a case where this problem has been there, and it's only in the fourth quarter when colleagues started escalating it to us and say, this is a problem, because we then had a situation where DTI colleagues say, we are not going to be doing this work for DSBD, and where we were not looking deeply at the performance information and what the inhibitors are. The co-location point, we had our target was to establish 4, but we only finalized 1 in the fourth quarter. However, we had exceeded the annual target because in previous quarters this target was exceeded. And then one of the targets that we had was the establishment of the Cooperative Development Agency, and we were not unable to do this, Chair, because we still do not have a dedicated budget allocation for the CDA in order to do that. Will you talk to this?
Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, Chair. I will be presenting on the financial performance for the quarter. Try to bring this closer. We had hoped to spend 275.9 million, and we managed to only spend 265 million, which is 96.1%, which resulted in an underspending of 10.9 million. The slide 17 is a graphic display of the spending per program for the quarter. Quarter one, for administration, we had hoped to spend 24. We had hoped to spend 24.8 million. We spent 30.7 million with an overspending of 5.9 million. Program two, we had hoped to spend 6.3 million. We spent 4.5 million with an underperformance or underspending, of 1.8 million. Program three, we had hoped to spend 244.8 million, and we spent 229.8 million, resulting in underspending of 15 million. And the reasons behind the underspending in the overspending in program one is on the basis that we had received payments that we had thought we would have processed in quarter three in the fourth quarter. And it wasn't so much that we didn't have money to spend for it because we had underspend in the previous quarters, so we used that money to cover the overspending in program two, in program one. Program two, which is policy and research, we underspent by 1.8 million due to the delays in finalizing some of the research projects, and that we still had or have vacant posts as well. Program three, which is program design and support, underspend by 15 million on transfers and subsidies. My apologies, Chair. Program three, design and support, underspend by 15 million on, and transfers and subsidies are the main contributors to the overall underspending, in that 19.7 was not disbursed in that quarter. The variance for the quarter is related to the underspending on the cooperative incentives scheme by 4.5 million just on the quarter. Black business support development program by 2.8 million, and NIBAS underspend by 45.6 million as well, and as overperformance by EIP, the Enterprise Incubation Program, by 14.1 million. We, as DG had indicated earlier on, we had lagged behind in terms of processing transactions related to the EIP funding. But in the fourth quarter, we were able to catch up and disburse the 40% that we pay the approved amount that is provided for each EIP program that was awarded. National Treasury also allowed us to redirect 19.1 million from NIBAS that had been underspending to CEDA, in that we supported the Gazelles program, we supported the Centers for Entrepreneurial Centers for Entrepreneurship. We underspend by 1.3 on compensation of employees, and goods and services overspend or overshot by 6.1 million, largely due to expenditure that related to the GEC Congress that was held in March. Yes, so we processed the payments in there, but we had requested to, because initially we were supposed to have prepaid the venue and facility, but then we were able to agree that we can only pay after the event had taken place. So that's why the cash flow was a bit skewed from that perspective. My Chair, I'm struggling with my throat. My apologies on that. The next slide being slide 19, we are looking at the economic classification, which is compensation of employees, goods and services, machinery and equipment, transfers and subsidies. It's that time of the year, sorry, Chair. Thank you. Thank you. We had hoped to spend on under compensation of employees 30.1 million. We spent 29.9 million, which is the first time we've actually exceeded, almost reached the target on performance on compensation of employees. Sadly, I can't say the same for year-to-date spending on compensation of employees. Goods and services, we had hoped to spend 16.7, and I've already provided the reasons why we had overshot on the spending. And machinery and equipment, we had hoped to spend 850,000. We also overshot by 1.1 million or 1.2 million. Transfers and subsidies, we underperformed, as I've already alluded, by 19.7 or 20 million. We also wrote off debt to the value of 28,000 that we did not plan for, because nobody ever plans to write off debts. We write off against savings that are available in the department. And I have already provided the reasons around the underspending on transfers and subsidies, and the fact that we have been allowed by National Treasury to redirect funding from NIBAS to CEDA in the form to the amount of 19.1 million. I've also indicated how we overspend on goods and services, and machinery and equipment. If one was to look at the overall underperformance or understanding by the department at year to date, one would realize that as a department we have underspent by 9.2%, which is 121 million for the financial year 16-17. As I've also indicated, the first three quarters of the financial year we had savings that we then used to augment where we overspend in the fourth quarter.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I will be presenting the HR report. So, as you can see, there, in terms of the vacancy rate, at the end of quarter four, we were sitting on 9.8%, which equates to 20 vacancies out of the 204 permanent posts on the establishment. 50% women employed in at SMS level. We were sitting on 53.5% as at the end of the quarter, which equates to 23 out of 43 SMS members in the department. And the target on people with disabilities, living with a disability, we achieved 2.5%, which equates to 5 out of 201 headcount. And the headcount is made up of filled posts as well as additional to the establishment. So that would be 184 filled posts and 17 additional to the establishment. The department, if we can move to the next slide, please. The department continued to function under the interim arrangement, which was implemented from October 2016. Many of the branches indicated a constraint with regard to human resources. And the remedial action that was taken or measures was in terms of contracting for the period, as well as looking at implementing more stability or bringing more stability into the department. So effective from 1 April, we implementing the startup structure, which then gives us three branches as well as program one, so a total of four branches with effect from the new financial year. With regard to change management, there's a lot of interventions that's been put in place to address staff morale, low staff morale, as well as improved communication with the staff as well as organized labor, and to ensure consultation and participation in the process with regard to the changes in our department as it pertains to programs as well as human resources. So just to mention a few of them, we have active DBC. The DG does have engagements with the staff. The last staff assembly was for the quarter was on 30 March. And here we also discussed the structure at each of these interventions. There's regular communication in the form of change communication that goes out to the department, as well as suggestion boxes, both in a physical and electronic format so that we can participate. The staff also interact with other departmental fora, so parliament meetings, conferences, and so on, so that they can get a feel for what the department should do and the big task that sits before the department. And then we have established the change management committee within the department to handle matching and placing, and the appeals committee will be established, or by now has been established, in line with the framework of DPSA on change management. Sorry, Sorry, DJ. Should I continue? With regard to Program 1, this is more the detail. So the first one, or the first, I'm just going to touch on a few of these. Clean audit achieved, unqualified audit outcome for 2015-16, that was the year-to-date achievement. CFO has spoken to the underspending, and we achieved a 98% of eligible creditors paid within 30 days. That was one invoice not paid within that period, and that was due to a locus error.
Just to save time, shall we focus on the areas of underperformance, the amber and the red areas, instead of reading everything in the table? Can you do that?
Thank you. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. So in Program 1, there's only the one area I've just spoken to, which was that one invoice that was not paid within 30 days, and that was due to a locus error. All the other targets were achieved for the quarter in Program 1.
Chair, I'll speak to Program 2. This is the research and policy and research function. You remember that it was the first time that we introduced this function. And the one target that we didn't achieve, we thought it would be sensible to delay it, Chair. There's a national evaluation plan that is annually approved by Cabinet. And DPME then decided that they will review they will do an evaluation, an impact evaluation of the 205 integrated strategy on the promotion of entrepreneurship in small enterprises. And then in discussion with them, we thought that would be wise to delay our review until after the evaluation, the report. Because once the DPME report is tabled in Parliament, together with that is an improvement plan which the department must present. And we have reported this change and our inability to achieve this target for the reasons I have just stated to the Minister and to DPME. We're quite proud of the research reports that we, or the baselines that we completed for the year, Chairperson. For example, on slide 35, one of the pieces of work, it's a quite a good piece of work that we did, was on the slide 35, the definitions of small businesses. The National Small Business Act, which is under review, one of the main provisions is to define SMMEs, and we would be happy to present that to yourselves tomorrow, and we've had several consultations on that. In fact, tomorrow we have a workshop with SARS and Stats SA and Key Depart, DTI, Treasury, etc., to finalise on that. But we were not able to finalise the research on the ecosystem simply because this was really our most under the slide 35, Chair. But just go on to the... Oh, good. One on the ecosystem, and that we commissioned the reason for this is that we commissioned the research too late, and all that we could look at was the draft report. And then another, the next slide, indicator 22, on the business rescue strategy, we didn't conclude either for the same reasons. The work is now underway, and in fact, we've appointed the University of Pretoria is doing that research for us. And just as a matter of interest, Chair, what we find more and more with the difficult financial situation, we're beginning to see the impact on small businesses, where many small businesses that have been in operation for many years are coming forward and saying, we are drowning. You know, our turnovers are low and threatening of closure. And so this strategy is needed very, 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 very urgently.
We have the on slide 38, which is my 38 there, the indicator 24. We have a national interdepartmental coordinating committee meeting chair. I think the committee always reminds us of our responsibility in respect of coordination, and to say that we have an active committee, and we had anticipated, hoped, we aspired to have a framework, a reporting framework, so that we are able to monitor how other departments are doing in their targeting and support of SMMEs and cooperatives, but it took a longer time than we initially anticipated to reach consensus with departments on that tool, but it will be finalized in the second quarter. Program 3, Mzo.
Good morning, honorable members. So I'll start on slide 39. On the issue that the DG has already touched on, which is the establishment of the CDA. That target was not achieved due to the lack of dedicated budget, as the DG has said in her overview. And the second one is the support to cooperatives through CIS. We fell short there by two as a result of the system transfer from the DTI. There was a delay with that. But at the tail end of the quarter, colleagues were working on that to ensure we get the system through to the DSBD platform so that it can be easier for us to process applications. The next one is the co-location program, which we had targeted four, but we're only able to achieve one in Matlosana in the west, in the northwest, in collaboration with one of our partners, which is AngloGold Ashanti. But when you look at the performance for the year, that target was achieved. And then on the last one is the mainstreaming target on support to rural enterprises. We fell short there by 5.5% to reach the 30%, which we had targeted for the quarter, and the DG has already provided some of the reasons which relate to the standardization of databases for the collection of information as well as attendance registers. So those are the red areas for Program 3.
And over to Cedar. You want to change seats? Or do you already work from there? Okay. Okay, we'll drive for you.
Good morning, honorable members and my colleagues. I am taking the committee through CEDA's quarter four performance report. I will follow suit, copying from DG in terms of being mindful of time, and therefore certain slides I will just skip over them, but I will indicate when I'm doing that. The report of CEDA for quarter four starts on, let me not do that. All right. It starts on, I will start on talking to the governance and compliance, so we'll push to the next slide, governance and compliance aspects of our work. I wish to report to the committee that CEDA has done in accordance to what is prescribed for its compliance activities. The board is still functional and it is meeting as scheduled. The committees, in terms of the committees of the board, are also functional and are meeting as scheduled. The dates are given. To the next slide, I wish to indicate that in terms of fulfilling our reporting obligations to the ministry, we are doing that in line with prescribed timelines. We satisfied everything in terms of planning work to a point of having our plans tabled to Parliament in the last quarter in month of March. Of course, we are doing our best as well to report to the committee as we are called in and to prepare responses if we are asked to return and prepare certain responses to the committee. So according to our records, we are missing nothing that we should have been returned to the committee in terms of our responses. Moving to the next slide, with the permission of the committee, I will skip this slide, which is just a title slide. And I think as well, I will not go into the details of this slide, which is the goals and objectives slide, because it's the last slide we always present whenever we come to present. So it will be the following slide. Then I will start talking to the performance statement. In terms of overall performance of the organization, specific to quarter four, we have managed to make 75% achievement rates of our activities against our targets. But when we are looking at the year-end total in terms of performance against our targets, we have improved on the score. We are at 85% achievement rates. And I will talk to the three areas where we did not do well later in the presentation. The slide present, we are just giving a breakdown of this achievement results I have referred to in terms of programs. Program one, which is enterprise development, we have one target that we did not meet. Program two, which is a CIDA technology program, again, there we have one target that has not been met, and of course, even under program three. Budget-wise, we've spent the money that has been given to us. We have been pushed by our network in the provinces in terms of demand of services to CIDA. There was a point where we could not turn a blind ear to these demands, and that pushed us a little bit over our budget. But we accepted to do that because we knew we have a buffer to carry that over expenditure. In terms of the next slide, highlights of our performance, if we are to single out areas where we could say we've done well or we've successfully tested new things. Under supplier development program, we have done well in terms of securing private sector partners that would create opportunities for supply chain opportunities for small enterprises. And in year-to-date results, we have about 167 clients that benefited from this. Trade facilitation, we are running workshops that prepare small enterprises for trade and promotion and trade and export promotion activities. And of those that have been going through our workshops, 353 of them have been accompanied to exhibitions, trade fairs internationally. We have also done our best possible in terms of the work on cooperatives, looking at new cooperatives, focusing mainly on areas of support towards the registration of cooperatives, training on governance of cooperatives, linking some of the cooperatives to procurement opportunities, whether at municipal level or as part of our trade promotion activities. Of course, we also did some work that includes a support to secondary cooperatives. Later in my stats, I will indicate how many secondary cooperatives have been assisted. We have tried new things in terms of a program that is looking at training of business support practitioners, but whilst they are training, they also provide services to small enterprises, especially in the retail sector, micro enterprise sector. And of now, we have 1,747 clients assisted there. This is a year program in terms of reporting these numbers. One will see them carrying through more or less the same across the year because we launched the program at a specific time. So these initiatives that are carrying through the year. In terms of partnerships sourced for small businesses, main of these partnerships linked to the first bullet, we have about 65 partnerships. Some of the partnerships, they just relate to training activities, and some of the partnerships, they relate to our network support, whether when we want to have co-location points. 41 clients have been supported with systems implementations. Systems implementation refer to the work that relates to quality and standards support for small enterprises, those that are working towards certification of their products. Client satisfaction survey, yes, we take a sample of our clients periodically. Once they have been supported, for us to see and hear, especially as MNE from head office, though this work is done at branch level, to hear how satisfied they are with the services that they have obtained. One thing I can mention is that moving on, we want to improve on this because we have realized that maybe our samples could be small, and we want to make sure we increase the number of our samples. We have a visitor. Oh, good. And 41 clients, 79.9% surveyed, they show increase in their turnovers in terms of companies that have been in this survey. And 54.4% show increase in number of people employed. In terms of creation of new jobs, I think the lead has been under our technology program, where we have 2,582 jobs created. Moving to the next slide, talking to areas of concern that more or less link to the three areas that I mentioned as areas of underperformance. It's the area that talks to the National Gazelles Program. Of course, we don't have a baseline for comparison of performance for this program because this one that we're reporting on was the initial cohort of enterprises that have been going through our support. And we are mindful of the fact that we had hoped that we may do more in terms of supporting the whole 200 enterprises that were selected in terms of the first 200 selected, out of which the 40 is the top 40 that receive intensive support. However, due to resource reasons, we had to scale down support on the 160 and focus on the 160, whilst the 160 was greatly supported through our network, though it was still receiving support through participation in some workshop programs of the main National Gazelles Program. Of course, we are also mindful that in terms of the participants in this program, there have been glitches in the processing of the applications for incentive grant funding, and we are ironing out whatever that could have been caused for those glitches. Value of service delivery costs covered by partners. We were hoping that in this financial year, our partnerships will be at a level where we can benefit more from them in terms of rolling out new access points for bringing our service closer to the clients, but we did not make the target that we were anticipating to enable us to do that. Moving to the next slide, other major initiatives, we were playing a great role in terms of coordination for the GEC and in the program for the GEC. Our incubators as well fully participated in the competitions of the GEC, and I am pleased to announce that the top three winners of the pitching to funders during the GEC were companies that were coming from our incubators, making it out of a competition that includes a number of other countries that participated in the GEC. We are also making inroads in terms of a supplier development program as we are finding ourselves securing agreements under IDEC, therefore intensifying our work in the automotive sector. I've already spoken to exhibitions under Export Development Program. What I mentioned here is just about France, as it took place in this quarter, but this is part of the bigger target achievement I referred to earlier. We also had trade workshops, as I indicated, that people that mainly people that take part in these export trade promotion programs, they go through preparation workshops. This number here is just giving number of people that participated in workshops in this quarter. Of course, in this quarter, we also launched new incubators, one here in Cape Town, which is in partnership with the French collective of companies, specifically being Matthias, and this is an incubator that has been part of the agreements with the French through the embassy. And we are also working, and we have launched as well an incubator in Mohoase. This is an incubator in a technical training and vocational education institution. Of course, we also finalized arrangements not mentioned there that enabled us to launch, as we started there, another rapid in Kimberley. We also established a partnership with the University of Pretoria, which will be an incubator that is focused on high-tech activities in the built and engineering sector. Demographics, total of companies we have been working with in this financial year, up to the end of the last quarter, it's about 12,215. And the bar chart that we have here is just breaking down that number in terms of provinces. And Western Cape shows to be leading, and we can indicate that that is par with the number of access points that we have in Western Cape, as the number is greater compared to other provinces. Of course, moving to the next slide, we are just breaking down that 12,215 clients attend during the year according to demographics per province. I won't go to the details of that, but I can indicate that this is more or less in par, in trend, compared to the previous year. The next slide is just, again, the breakdown of the same in terms of sectors. And I could say leading sectors are manufacturing, followed by tourism, construction as well as wholesale and retail. We can proceed to the next slide, which is showing a breakdown of our work on cooperatives province by province. And here I pick on what I said I will signal on the next slides in terms of our work as support towards secondary cooperatives. At that time I didn't have the number. Now I do have 45 secondary cooperatives that we worked with. The next slide, we are now focusing on our work in the incubation centers and, of course, new SMMEs established through our incubation program. In total, it's about 441, and that is broken down to different sectors, and leading sector is agriculture and agro-processing, followed by manufacturing as well as mining and beneficiation. The list, I must indicate that the list of all our incubators is available on CIDA website. And the next slide is on clients supported, still under incubators. Firstly, I was just talking to new SMEs, and now I'm talking to client supported. We have about 2,663 in total, and that is broken down according to the sectors and the bar graph in terms of where new SMEs are. And client supported, the sectors are more or less the same in terms of numbers, comparing the graphs. The next slide is looking at incubators only, looking at jobs created per sector from our incubation streams. We have about 2,582 jobs as counted, and the breakdown, again, I'll be naming more or less the same in terms of performance of sectors. It's construction, it's agriculture and agro-processing, it's mining. What I can say is that when we are comparing the work in incubation stream and general work, construction, even under our general mainstream of support, is featuring to be one of the leading sectors, as well as manufacturing, but agriculture and agro-processing seems to be taking a crown in what is happening in the incubation stream, which means our incubators as well in the sector are doing well. I think I will skip the slides on risk and go to human resource figures. Currently, all this work is done by staff complement of 649 people across CIDA, and it's a provincial network. And of this complement, 188 people are business advisors. At this point in time, we've managed to reduce our vacancy rate, and we are currently at 6%. But if we are to single out a vacancy rate on business advisors, it's a bit higher. We are losing them as we are hiring them. We are working on different strategies on how to retain our business advisors. Then on the last one, it's just to mention that the significant part of our staff complement at head office is the staff complement relating to the CIDA technology program, which is mainly driven from head office. Performance on financial results, I can say that the budget for the year has been 759 million, Of that, we have spent 771 million, having indicated already that we have overspent. The overexpenditure is 16 million, which translates to 1.4% of our total budget, and that is within the threshold that is acceptable by National Treasury. The next slide is just giving a comparison year on year, and I could say that our graph is rising gradually. If we take that the layering, it's year on year. The blue line is 2013-14. The next year is the following year. The green line is the following year, and the purple line is the current year, which says with the minimum additionality that we get from National Treasury, we also spend, and we do our best to spend that on actual service delivery. The next slide is going to show that we are spending only about 20% of our money on pure administrative expenses, and the rest, it goes to programs. One, if one compares this slide and the budget slide, one would realize that initially we start by planning to spend more on administration, but when we realize that there is a fix in our network in terms of services to enterprises, we reprioritize and we cut down some programs at administration level, and I can say most of the programs that are suffering and we cannot endure to have them suffering for longer now. Our ICT-related programs, because we realize that the longer we delay this, it's also now bearing significant impact on our network. I think that on the last note, I can say as we completed the audit, the year, quarter four as well, AG as well completed the interim audit, and according to feedback they gave us in the board meeting in May, there is nothing alarming. Our report, according to the interim audit, still looks shaping well. And, of course, in terms of the ministerial projects, work is ongoing. Our concern is only on the issue of co-location sites. As I mentioned, that partners to get us going in this work are not coming forth as we had intended, especially from the municipal side. Instead, municipalities are shortchanging us, if I could say, even on the current collocation points, because they are now reprioritizing their budgets and they are leaving us alone on the collocation obligations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and colleagues from the Department, CIFA and CEDA. You will notice the our presentation covers the quotas as well as cumulative information. I'll try and zoom in on the quarter to quarter. If you can just go to the next slide that talks about the governance. From, as you are aware, Honorable Chairperson, our new board was appointed in October last year. And in the fourth quarter, we have engaged three times with the board, which also included the strategy session that we held in January this year. And then all in all for the year, seven meetings were held, and then Audit and Risk Committee, which is a subcommittee of the board, also met on a number of occasions, about three times, like four times, including the assessment of the budget process, because they arrive at the time of the budgetary process. Our Credit and the Investment Committee met two times in the year, in the quarter under review. So as one time for Human Capital and Remuneration Committee of the board, as well as the Social and the Ethics Committee. The next slide just indicates in terms of our activities. Largely here, I'm going to zoom into approvals and as well as the next slide on the disbursements. If you look on the graph just on quarter four, we have targeted to approve a transaction to the value of 221 million on quarter four, and we have achieved 385 million in terms of the approval for quarter four. If you go to look at wholesale division, the target for approval for the quarter was 163 million, and we have approved 319 million. On the bottom left-hand side, which is the direct lending, we have targeted to approve a total of 57.3 million, and we have approved 79 million for the quarter under review. The next slide says, now out of the approvals that would have been done in this period as well as the previous approvals, what is it that have gone into the economy in terms of disbursement through our channels? You will see the total for CIFA for quarter four in terms of the disbursements. We have targeted to disburse 176 million quarter four, and we disbursed 285 million in total in the quarter under review. The wholesale lending division, in terms of the amount of money that has gone into small businesses and across the entire channel, 122 million was the target, and 242 million was disbursed. Our direct lending, which is through our branch network, we have short in terms of our target. We had a target in quarter four of 53.1 million, and then the actual was 32.6 million. So we have we short in terms of the target for disbursements in the fourth quarter. Next slide, look at the impact of the disbursements that have been made. What is it that the impact in terms of the number of SMEs that has been supported? We have targeted to support 11,750 enterprises, and then the actual was 17,441 in quarter four. What we do is that what impact in terms of the money that we have disbursed in terms of the either creating or facilitating and or maintaining the jobs. We have targeted that the amount of jobs that will be facilitated through our funding activities will be 18,250, and then we have achieved 19,756 for the quarter. Our activities also look in terms of the impact, for example, on the support on businesses that are owner managed by young people, businesses that are in priority provinces, women, and businesses that are owner managed by black people, so as business that are managed in townships and by entrepreneurs with disability. If we just look at that slide, you see in terms of business that are owner managed by young people, from a rand value point of view, the target was 211 million, and then we have disbursed 222 million. But in terms of the number of youth, I'm looking at the cumulative. In terms of the quarter four, the target was 52,750, and then the actual youth that has been supported is 59,348. And then the in terms of rent value, I beg your pardon, 52.7 million, and then actual 59.3 million. And then the number of youth that have received, the youth-owned enterprises that receive finance from the institution is 4,028 during the quarter under review. We also have a target that looks at while we find across all provinces, what happened to the what we call the priority rural provinces? The target was 78.2 million in terms of the disbursements, and the actual that we did was 109 million, 109.5 million. And then we have supported the enterprise in these priority provinces of 17,363. And we also have a target for businesses that are owner-managed by women. In quarter four, the target was to prevail 79.2 million, and the actual was 156.4 million during the fourth quarter. Businesses are owner-managed by black people, the significant portion in terms of our target. We say we need to support women or black-owned businesses. In this quarter, the target was 78,250, and the actual was 229.1 million, which supported 17,420 businesses that are owner-managed by black people. The next slide relates to a target that we have introduced for the first time for this year under review, where we are saying what impact have we made to entrepreneurs that are based in the township. In this target, you see, we have targeted to support 39, in terms of rent value, 39.7 million, and then 52.9 million was supported. But however, year on year, as you see, this is one of the targets where we had a full target of 159 million, but only 79 million in total went to entrepreneurs that are based in the township. And then for quarter four, in terms of number, we have supported 1,927. We have also said, as you are aware, Honorable Chairperson, that from our direct lending channel activities, our funding are limited to five million. So we have got a target that makes sure that we also support entrepreneurs that are looking for funding below 500,000, so that we shouldn't just be biased on only supporting those that are looking at a million or 3 million or 5 million. So here the target for the quarter was 92.2 million in total. When you combine all this funding that we have done for small businesses looking for funding below 500,000, we said the target is to be 92.3 million. 130 million has been the amount that we supported those that are looking for a quantum below 500,000. We remain with a huge challenge, Chair, on the funding for entrepreneurs with disability. You see in quarter four, this amount is not, you will see the detail on the background. The target for quarter four was 3.5 million. It's not reflected there, but 3.5 million, which is the, like a grayish, grayish graph there, 3.5 million, and then the disbursements, which is the red one, was the only 2.034 million. So we didn't achieve our target for entrepreneurs with disabilities for both for the quarter four as well as for the full financial year. The next slide is just now given out in what I've just said in terms of the impact for the activities for the quarter and with regard to the performance for quota against the target. But I would like to just maybe zoom into the slide, the slide that then talks about the within the balance scorecard, the financial perspective. That slide on the financial perspective. I just want to highlight that in terms of our cost to income ratio, which this calculation excludes the grant that we receive from the fiscus. We measure this on an ongoing basis, and then for the entire year the target was 157%. We did 161%. The higher the percentage, the worse the situation is. So there is a challenge for us to be able to contain our costs from time to time. One target for the year relates to our impairments. We have targeted that the overall impairment in all our channels for them at any given time, whether quarterly or cumulative to the year, should not be more than 29%, and you see the achievement. There was a negative 47%. We also have a measurement in terms of our growth in interest and fees, because our revenue is generated in terms of our funding activities on the interest that we charge, or the fees on the guarantee facilities and others. So the target was that we need to see a growth as compared to the previous year of 6%. But we had a negative growth in this regard, so we did not achieve that particular target. Next part of the balance scorecard, which I just want to share with the committee, relates to the turnaround time, which is always not just before. I think that's right. Honourable Chair, we say that. If a client is looking for a bridging loan, we need to execute that within 20 working days at any given time. For the fourth quarter, 19 days were that's what it took for quarter four with regard to finalizing from where we believe that the application is complete until the disbursement, until the approval by various committees. Term loans, we set ourselves as 30 working days. In fact, that 20, the Honourable Chair, it should be 30. My apology. The target for quarter four should be the same as the target for annual. So each and every transaction must be done within 30 working days. So we did it in the achievement was 22 days in this. In this regard, with regard to the term loans. On the wholesale-related application, the target is 45 days, and then the actual for quarter four was 50 days. I would just like maybe to go to the next slide and just talk about the issue on the labor-related aspects. The staff turnover, we have set a target of 7%. Which is the same for at any given time annually as well as quarterly. And the achievement was 4.8%. And this measure is relating to the critical position in the organization. We also did a customer satisfaction survey, which was done by an independent provider, just to check what is it that our clients are perceiving us, both those that received the funding, those that were declined, and those that inquired and the funding didn't go into the next process. So we targeted 70%, and then 77% was the outcome for the period. I must say, Honourable Chair, that this, particularly for the whole year, is under the all that I've just mentioned now is being. Our external auditors are finalizing the audits of targets against of actual against predetermined targets, and I believe that the next time when we come and report the full year, we'll be able to share with you the numbers. We do not anticipate any difference from what we have presented materially in this presentation. We also look at collection, although it's not necessarily a target, but because it's crucial for us to say the amount of money that we have disbursed to small businesses, to what extent are we collecting. There are variety in terms of collection where we look at. We have decided to look at all cash that comes to our institution, irrespective of whether a client is in arrears for 60 days, 120 days, or 180 days, as we have presented previously. So if you look at that will be the next slide. On the screen, the one after this one. Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Thank you. So you the financial. Yes, yeah. Let me just dwell on the financial performance. Again, this just compare the budget as well as the previous financial year. So we have budgeted in terms of our income for the whole year at 219 million, in terms of income, which is dividends and fees and interest, and then we fall short there to 217 million in total. Actually, I must report that now, in terms of one of our biggest challenges in the institution has been impairments over the past year. There is a significant improvement in our level of impairment that has been charged to our income statement. Last year, an impairment of 336, if you look at the top, on the right-hand side, the impairment for last year that has been charged to our income statement was 336 million. And this year, the impairment was 68 million, which is a significant improvement. But there are a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that we have been very conservative in the previous financial year in terms of applying the impairment methodologies in terms of our investment. But at the same time, we have contained our lending activities this year while we are trying to improve our collections from the amount that we have lended out. So there are a variety of reasons that resulted in the improvement in the level of impairment. It's also the budget was 99.7 million, and we achieved 68 million, which is an improvement in the level of impairment. We also believe that, you know, from a cost point of view, we have contained costs. We look largely from inflation and new hiring. If you look at personal expenses, the budget was 193 million, and we achieved 168 million. So we have contained costs as much as possible. The same applies to the other operating activities, where the budget was expenses of 189 million, and then we have achieved 181 million, which is cost containment. The grant that is voted by the fiscus that we have received of 213 million, taking out into consideration that grant, with the grant we will sit with a marginal a profit, taking into account the grant of 4.2 million over this period. That is where I would like to end, Honourable Chairperson. And thank you for opportunity.
That concludes our presentation. I'm sorry we took a lot more time than the 30 minutes allocated.
Thank you. Thank you. We will proceed to the next presentation. Can we have we'll have discussion, we'll have a tea break. Tea break. 10 minutes tea break.
So they will grab anything that look like success, because you're going into a regular success.
Yeah.
So they will grab it and claim the success, of course.
Yeah.
But so it's unbelievable stuff.
So I need to contact
them. Look at this. Give it to them.
Yeah.
And then what you do is today, and then when you come back, I will ask it there.
Thanks.
All right. You see? Then I ask the person, what happened?
I'll just name
it. Okay,
I'll
So, do you want to talk to us?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to make sure.
And that person, you give me all of these, and then I'll ask the question in one time.
I think I'm tired of doing this thing. What I do is we do reports of we do your reports as meeting.
Let's go to report. Honorable Koga. Honorable Mabasa, Honorable Kosa, Honorable Chan, in that order.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the department for the presentations. DG, I thought it will be also helpful if you gave us the year-to-date information as well, like CIFA did. It will give us a more of a holistic picture. But that is just a proposal. My question is about the red tape reduction effort of the department. If you can just give us some background there on how far are they with red tape reduction and what are they doing about it. That's the first question. The second question is transversal agreements between departments. I don't know if we must ask for a report, Chair, but it seems like we don't get information, or maybe I missed that information, about all the agreements that's supposed to be in place with all departments and the like. Slide 19, if we can go to slide 19. The debts that the department write off. I just want to know why does the department have debts to write off? Where is it coming from? If she can just give us a little bit more information on that. And then the small business definition. Chair, you will remember I asked that question, I think, in the last meeting. And it seems like the department is now ready to bring that bill to this committee. But I still have a problem with small business definition, because in small businesses mean different things in different departments, like the small growers. You know, you get small growers in agriculture, and you get small contractors, and you get small electricians, and so on. So I was just wondering, how are we going to define all the small businesses under one definition? Because if we don't do it right the first time, some of the small businesses, like small growers, for instance, will have a problem getting the benefit that the government is offering. So I would just like to get more information on how that they look at the definition of small businesses. Because all the other department is actually waiting for us to define small businesses. And then on page 65 and 64, slide 65, that's a CEDAC question. Let me just go there. Sorry, Chair. If you look at page 64 and 65, let's look at the sector incubation. And if you look at chemicals, 260 clients were supported, but only 128 jobs was created. So if you look at, for instance, manufacturing, 508 clients were supported, but only 297 jobs were created. So if you can just get clarity, why is there, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about job creation. It's not about starting businesses. And then the last question is for CIFA, slide 89. The days, number of days for a application, that balance scorecard 89, slide 89. I think, personally, I think 20 days, and I'm sure they're working on working days, 20 days is a very long time.
And I was wondering if we can't streamline, why is it 20 days? I mean, we sit in a IT technology where all the information is ready, available. If you go to a commercial bank, you will be, if you apply for a loan, if they take 5 days, I'm going to another bank, you know, then I look for another bank. So why is it so long? And especially their targets. I think they must bring their target down to 10 days or so. Because this is part of the frustration of small businesses, which they call, of course, red tape, is this long period after they hand in the application, waiting and waiting and nothing is happening. So if they can just give us some information on why does it take so long, you know, 20 days, working days, it's a whole month. Imagine waiting a whole month for money to start a business. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Comrade Chairperson. Also expressing appreciation for the inputs that have been made. First of all, I would like to express congratulatory words to the agencies for the unqualified AG's reports. That's an achievement, and if that can be kept up, because it speaks volumes positively. Then my next question is, when I consider the support that is given by both CIFA and CEDA to areas, I want to cite a specific area. I want to say Soweto, which is so broad. A number of workshops have been conducted by both CIFA and CEDA. The question is to both these agencies, how many do you actually know which co-ops and small businesses you are supporting in Soweto? Is it possible to cite and say, yes, we have one business in Orlando, we have another business in Piri, you know? Because sometimes I get the impression that the department does not follow up on the workshops that it conducts, because the obligation to follow up should not only lie with the attending SMMEs and cooperatives, but the departments must also say, in view of the workshops that I have run, maybe I've run four of them, I am aware of the development of three of them. They are at these stages. So if they can speak to that, I will appreciate. I was citing Soweto in particular. And then on slide 11, where we are giving, where we are talking of partnerships agreement, let me just pick up one, the one of Nestle. What more detail can be given there, so that with detail being expanded on that, it will make me also to understand the detail of B and C. And then on slide 16, is it 16? Let me just check. Yes. On slide 16, where we have the overall underspending for the quarter being 10.9 million, I'm expressing a concern that with this type of expenditure being so high, we may find ourselves struggling to convince Treasury and other budgeting bodies to give us adequate funding. So can the department explain that? Because, you know, to me, it causes that potential harm. And then I'm just about to get to the last one. On slide 13, under 9, there is 9, and then it's point 9. If it's 110 SMMEs and cooperatives, how will they be chosen such that all the target groups are represented? Talking of the target groups, let me start with the informal businesses, the street vendors, and then going up to spaza shops. So how will the choice be made such that it is representative in terms of the size, but at the same time in terms of the geographic spread for that international fair? So how will that be chosen? And then I think I'm going to the last one, which is 12. Yeah. On slide 18, I wish more flesh can be given around the gazelles. What amount of budget does the gazelles take compared to other needy areas? Just a percentage, or how to express it in a fraction? But next time, Comrade Chair, when we get to presenting figures, or you know, if we look at, just as an example, if we look at slide 82 going up to slide 84, I know we are trying to save paper, but at the same time, if we oversave paper, we may find that it's a waste if we can't read what is written, because it is so minute. Thanks, Colleague Chair.
Honorable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. Please excuse my croaky voice, also dealing with an infection. And thank you to the presenters this morning. I'm just going to go through slide by slide some questions that I have. The Corporate Development Agency, slide 15, when will this be funded? And how much is the department expecting to budget for the CDA to be funded? The GEC expenditure, slide 18, what returns did the department expect to achieve from its sponsorship of this event? And were those expectations achieved? Slide 22, which branch of the department is experiencing low morale? And what interventions are being made to address that? And have you seen some positive responses? The research report that's referred to in slide 33, it would be helpful if the committee were to have access to that report. because it relates to the legislative and regulatory protocols impeding SMMEs concluded. It comes back to Honourable Kruger's question about red tape. It would be interesting, particularly in terms of the undesirability report on the red tape bill that we saw this morning, how the department's own activities have highlighted those problems. Slide 37. Who sits on this committee? We're talking about the National Interdepartmental SMMEs and Cooperatives Development Coordinating Committee. Who sits on the committee, and from which departments do they come? Slide 65. It would be very helpful if we were to see some longitudinal analysis. I know we've talked about this before. In other words, taking not just the number of businesses supported in the current quarter or the current financial year, but businesses that have been supported over a period of years. Do you have information that can enlighten us on the medium to long-term impact of support provided by CEDA on these businesses? Slide 66. It's a pity that you didn't discuss the risks, because in a sense risks relates to the entire mandate of the department and the agencies. In a sense, the area in which you're operating is a high-risk area, so higher risks, higher returns, one would hope. Have you got any comments on that? The problem with not being able to get the municipalities to fund co-location is a big problem. Slide 74, which you referred to in this slide presentation, number 74, because local economic development is where the activity happens. And if you can't get municipalities to cooperate, it's going to seriously impede your ability to leverage investment. What steps are you taking to persuade municipalities to cooperate? Then turning to CEFA, slide 77. In this presentation, you have chosen not to distinguish between the impairment rates between the direct and the indirect lending books. It would be helpful to have that information. In the past, impairments have been significantly higher in the direct loans book than in the indirect loans book. Is that trend continuing? Slide 80. There seems to be an enormous over-provision of wholesale lending. In fact, most of that's contributing to the overall increase in disbursements. I'd like to know why has there been such an increase, particularly in view of the fact that you still have such a high impairment ratio. Does that not necessarily translate into irresponsible lending? Then if we look at the number of jobs created per business supported, we're still focusing almost exclusively on micro-enterprises, with the average job being created per business supported being in the region of 1.5. So you're not really financing businesses that are showing significant growth. You're showing financing businesses that are barely survivalist businesses, businesses that are maybe creating one or two jobs. Is this not a problem? How many of these businesses are actually going to survive? And again, it comes down to longitudinal analysis. How many of these businesses have you been supporting over how many years? Do they come back for loans? If they come back for loans, are they demonstrating growth and survival? Slide 83. Seems to be some sort of mismatch here between the total number of businesses financed on the top right-hand graph where it says 69,956 businesses financed, compared to the slide 81 where it's 59,000. Sorry, that's the number of jobs finance. The one next to it on the left-hand side, 40, what is it, so tiny, 43,000. So we've got 43,000 businesses financed in that slide, and 69,000 businesses financed on slide 83. Could you perhaps explain that contradiction? Then in terms of the collections, what is the progress in your intervention strategy to reduce the number of impairments? And I must say I'm also quite perplexed as to how on your balance sheet, or actually your income statement, page 85, it shows a movement of impairments of 68 million when your impairment ratio is 47%, significantly above budget. Perhaps you could just explain that. And then finally, slide 87, it's quite strange to me that only 10% of your lending is to township businesses. If you look at the rows which it says facilities dispersed must be black owned, and then disbursements to township businesses, roughly 10% of the black owned businesses reside in the townships. Now how is that possible? Where do the other black businesses come from? Where do they come from? Do they come from rural areas, CBDs? By far the majority of black-owned businesses in this country actually are operating in townships. So where are the other 90% coming from? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Khoza.
Thank you, Chair. Shall I start by also welcoming the presentations, but further went, go to the reasons as to why is the department still functioning under the interim arrangement? Because if you go to slide 22, there's an indication that the department continued to function under the interim arrangement that was implemented in October 2016. Why is the structure not finalized, if I may ask? There was also an indication in terms of the presentation that there is low morale among the workforce. Then what causes that? If really there is that, because if it can be able to affect the work of the department if the morale of the staff is very low. And looking at the fact that I think for the staff you said about plus or 90%, but if it's all of these they are experiencing low morale, then we have a serious problem. Honorable Chancellor has just covered me on the CDA. On slide number 39, but I want also to check, because to my understanding, I want to believe that it is the department that set up the key performance areas, and it is supposed to be, or what informs them to put something that they cannot budget for, because I want to believe that if you really targeted that you have to launch this CDA, you are supposed to put budget in place, because that is what you are targeting to achieve. Chairperson, when we go to slide 12, where we talk of the incubators, can I perhaps be schooled in terms of the age of the incubators and their success rate? that perhaps they were appointed because they've proven themselves that they can be able to assist. Because I'm seeing the five that are there, and perhaps also to further request that if we can be able to get a sense of as to when were the registration dates for these companies. Going to slide 52. to see that. They in program one they speak of in enterprise development. They repeatedly indicating the increase in number of this and that. Can they be able to, because the increase, if you say increase in a number, it is too general. So by how much percent are you going to increase the number, or by which number are you going to increase those numbers? Slide 56. There is an indication of support for cooperatives. And I just want to check as to perhaps they can be able to indicate to us, more especially to the cooperatives that we have visited in Mpumalanga, whether indeed they are satisfied that they have supported the cooperatives in terms of development. I think, Chairperson, I'm a bit worried, because if you look at those cooperatives, some of them, they had members who are dead, but still they were given money by SIFA. And if really what we receive in the presentation is informed by what is happening on the ground, then I was going to be satisfied, but it is slightly the opposite. Then there's also a very much concern emphasizing on the jobs created. That even if those that were supported, they were creating one or two jobs, the number of jobs created was supposed to be more than what it appears on the presentation. So to me it says, perhaps we are looking at our underspending towards the end of the term, then we rush and support support Lili in terms of just dumping the money there, because we just want to match the spending pattern, that you, even if you have underspent, it's a very little margin. So thank you, Chen.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is based on slide 10. Point 2 says a total of 315 and 221.12 jobs were supported under CIS and BPSDP respectively. So what I want to know is what kind of support are we talking about here, and are there tangible outcomes and successes that we can be given as proof that their support is making a difference? The second one, slide 32. Oh, okay, my colleagues have asked that one about low morale. Slide 56. Slide 56, they are very impressive percentages that we have been given. What I want to know is how many clients are we talking about? We can talk about 97% of five clients. But how many clients are we talking about, and how many clients were surveyed? Number of people that were surveyed, and of that survey, how many have had this exceptional, have performed exceptionally well? And slide 58, 34 clients were taken to exhibitions under the export development programs in France. I'm keen to know the cost of that was involved in taking these clients. Did the department pay for them 100% the amount, or how much did the department contribute? And what was the selection process that was used to determine who should go and who should not go? And slide 70, about the business advisors. Many times when we speak to small businesses, even cooperatives, we hear people saying, we don't even know that the department exists. Now, if they are business advisors, are these in the office? And if they are in the office, what kind of advice are they giving? Is it telephonically, or do they go to, are they on the ground? Do they go to the business themselves, or do they just take a telephone and advise people from the office? And slide 81. Number of SMMEs and cooperatives that are financed represent 94% of the annual target. Now, I want to know of this 94% that you're talking about, what is the percentage of those that have been financed directly by CIFA, and what percentage is that is financed by the intermediaries? And the issue of differences in interest rate between intermediaries and CIFA, is CIFA trying to bridge that difference, because some intermediaries charge 2 to 3 times what CIFA charges. So I would want to know what percentage is CIFA financing directly and what percentage is financed through intermediaries. And when they discover that some intermediaries are charging 3 times more, are they just allowing it to happen, or is there anything that they are doing about it? Thank you.
Thank you. I want to add on the question that was asked by Honorable Mabasa on slide number 11, where in terms of partnership agreement signed, what is the specific contribution of NESCO and the partnership? Because I say that CIFA and CIDA will provide financial and non-financial contributions to the NESTLE Enterprise Development Program. What is then NESTLE providing? The second question is the national fair in China, 110 SMMEs and cooperatives. The question that I'm asking is the competitiveness of our SMMEs as compared to SMMEs in China. What is it that we shall be exhibited by our SMMEs in such an industrialized country that is actually manufacturing for the entire world? And linked to that is, what are the costs for that exhibition in relation to the direct costs that are going to the support to the 110 South African small, medium, and micro enterprises and cooperatives who shall be exhibiting? What is it that the department will be paying for? And then what are the costs to the events coordinator, if there is an events coordinator for that? And what are the expected benefits for participating in such a fair? And the last question related to that is, have we had a national fair for small businesses in South Africa? And if yes, what lessons can we share in terms of what happened? Then I come to slide number 64 and 65. Firstly, before I come to that, I would want to understand whether there is CEDA has got its own incubation program. There are incubators that are supported by CEDA, and there are those that are supported by the department, or it's one and the same program. And I would then want to understand how much is given to incubators and how their performance is measured in comparison to funding allocated to them. I am also making a comparison between slide 64 and slide 65. Client supported per sector incubation. Chemicals, 260 clients supported. Number of jobs created, 128. Metals fabrication, 329 clients supported. Number of jobs, 147. For me, the responsibility of an incubator is to ensure that the client that is supported, or the business that is being incubated, will be able to run a business efficiently and effectively in terms of production, in terms of business management, in terms of marketing, in terms of job creation. Therefore, a business that has been incubated would perform better than a business that has not been incubated. I then need to understand as to why there would be more clients that are incubated and less jobs created. I am also saying this reflecting on the incubator that we visited in Soweto, where we found a few pairs of shoes and a few roof tiles. We didn't see a truck coming in, or we were not told that the people that are being incubated have now identified a production plant, and the incubator has assisted them to secure a market, and they are supplying these roof tiles to schools that are being built. We didn't get that information. We just saw a few tiles, and the explanation that was given to us was how those tiles, the material that is used to produce those tiles. We then moved to the next section in the same incubation building. I've talked about a few pairs of shoes. Again, we saw a few handbags. And we moved to the next room, and we saw a few dresses, not even full in a rail. And we didn't hear any story about these people that are being incubated are supplying either PEP or Woolworths or Mr. Price or whatever retail shop that is there. We didn't hear that. We just saw little bits and little bits and little bits. So my question is in relation to who are we supporting? Are we supporting the incubators, or we are using the incubators to develop competitive businesses that are able to create jobs, access the market, and run their businesses efficiently? And also, how many of these incubators are black-owned? And what are their qualifications? Then going back to the issue of incubators, I say that Matela Trust has benefited in the CF as well as the EIP, which means Matela benefited in two grants. The CF grant as well as the EIP grant, can that be explained as to how does that happen? And in our understanding, we were made to understand that it is a municipality that applies for the CF on behalf of an applicant. But here the beneficiary is this Matsila. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Chair. And honourable members, will respond to the questions in the order that it came.
I'm very, very sorry. I also wanted to make a comparison to the slide that speaks about the type of businesses, the sectors. It indicates that the biggest sector is agriculture. But when you look at, yeah, yes. it reflects that the agriculture is the biggest in terms of the pie. And then I wanted to know as to how does it happen that only 361 jobs were created, or only 631 jobs were created, and 607 clients were supported. It doesn't make sense to me. Why I'm saying that is that we have been on the field, and we now know that one hectare can create 10 jobs in agriculture. And if then there were 607 clients that were assisted, and then only 631 jobs were created, it gives me a big question mark as to what type of agriculture are they involved in, because even those that are doing the chickens, you find more than five people in a poultry cooperative. Why are the numbers of jobs so limited, almost equal to the clients that were supported?
Your indulgence, Comrade Chair, I also slipped up and forgot one. We were with the department when we visited SHARP in Mufulo, and they had pointed out that they needed a certain machine. It was not the machine, but what they needed was support so that they are able to purchase material profitably, because it looks like they are being exploited. So I want to find out whether the presentation as it stands, does it also address that? And then the last question, if I could be given, even if it is just two, I know I asked the question, but even if it is just two of the street vendors, those informal sellers that the department is supporting, you know, so that we can understand that there is an attempt to support that category of people. Thanks, Colleague Chair.
The last one on my side is in relation to the secondary cooperatives that have been assisted. I would want to understand from CEDA, because this is on CEDA's report. And they say they have supported a total of 45 secondary cooperatives. I would want to understand what informs those secondary cooperatives. I'm going to elaborate on that. During our visit, we would come across primary cooperatives who would need services, in our view, which would have been provided by the secondary cooperative if the Act was not prescriptive that only after 2 years of the existence of a primary cooperative would a secondary cooperative be established. And in our view, that condition is actually a hindering factor, because a secondary cooperative is not grade two and a primary cooperative a grade one. Any cooperative is an entity that serves its members. any cooperative is an entity that is established to serve its members. Therefore, if primary cooperatives identify a need which necessitates the establishment of a secondary cooperative, during the pre-registration process, both primary cooperatives and a secondary cooperative that is going to provide the service to those cooperatives can be registered in the same day. I want to be very specific. Here are five primary cooperatives that are involved in agriculture. They need to buy fertilizer in bulk. And the fertilizer is expensive. It is purchased by one primary cooperative. They then come together and say, we will form a secondary cooperative that will buy seed for us, pesticides, fertilizers, and two tractors, and we will hire the tractor from the secondary cooperative. So the issue of having each cooperative having a tractor goes away, and it reduces the cost of running a business and also of asking for more money from the government and more grants. The question then is, CEDA says it has supported 45 cooperatives. What informs the establishment of those secondary cooperatives? Are they secondary cooperatives in terms of geographical location, like we see on the ground, where there will be Ugu secondary cooperative but doesn't provide any service to primary cooperatives, any specific service to primary cooperatives, or Mujindi secondary cooperative geographical location as opposed to a service required by primary cooperatives? Thank you.
Lost the presentation on the screen there. But we'll try and respond to the questions. Maybe we'll do ours, and then we'll ask the CEOs to do theirs. To start, we'll respond to the questions in the order that it has been asked. Honourable Kruger, I thought that if you look at the department's presentation, where we give the reports per program, a detailed report as from slide 26, you will see that we do provide year-to-date. I see that CEDA also, CIFA, does that as well on their balanced scorecard. We will make sure that there is consistency with in the presentations going forward. In terms of the red tape reduction, we have reported in questions that have been asked before. There was the 2012 or 2011 red tape reduction guidelines, and we have reported in the provinces Limpopo, Northwest, Free State, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Northern Cape, where we had done road shows on those guidelines. We also reported that there were provinces. We also know that those guidelines are being used by Western Cape in particular to guide the program that is being driven from a provincial side. And we have in this year, for this financial year, there are two targets. The one is an assessment of the implement, because certain commitments were made in when we did the rollout of that. And so we will do an assessment of what has been done. And we've identified a few, like Greater Kokstad, Umzimkulu in KwaZulu-Natal,
and two in the Free State, where the two that we have been to in the Free State. And there will be a further eight that we will assist with revising their guidelines. We have reported on, I think it was slide, where we reported on the research that we did on the regulatory protocols impeding SMMEs and cooperatives. Quite a bit of work has been done in that regard. And therefore, Chair, one of the targets that we have for the year is to take, I can't remember what the number is, I think it's four, where four of those national shall I say, procedures that impact on the ease of doing business, that we aim to re-engineer that with national departments. One of the pieces of advice that we have been given, even though to make it an avenue that is open to us and that we are exploring, we can't say when we will do it because it's not an active project and it's not in our APP right as it stands, and therefore we will have to find the human resources to drive that. We think that if the guidelines can be regulated, if they become regulations, they could become enforceable. CFO, maybe if you can talk to the debt certain open where it comes from quickly.
The write-off, the biggest contributor is around 24,000. That was the performance evaluation that was awarded to an official at the time that DSBD was still supported by the DTI. That was also transferred, but later retracted. So when we tried to recover the money, because official had also challenged the issue, because he was awarded. Sorry.
Could you please stop? When I'm chairing a meeting, I'm also looking at their reaction when answers are given. Honorable Kruger, you are saying something.
Well, Chair, I can't understand that the red tape bill was not desirable, so it's fine. I mean, I respect the committee's decision in that regard. But, I mean, on the same day that we accept the report, the DG come and say they're going to regulate red tape now. So it doesn't make sense to me. Then there's something wrong with the system. Because that was exactly what the red tape bill tried to achieve, is to regulate the reduction of red tape. And all those principles, if you go and look at that municipality, what you call it, guidelines, most of those principles is built into the red tape reduction bill. And now the DG come the same day as that we approved our report that the red tape bill was not desirable. She come and tell us they're going to regulate the municipal, guidelines. I don't understand. That's just my point.
Carry on.
Thank you, Chair. The 28,000 that we had to write off, as I was saying, Chair, was an amount of debt that was transferred from the DTI for an official that was linked to the department who was awarded a performance award that was later retracted, and the official challenged the department. So when we requested the Office of the state attorney to help us recover the money. They came back and said we should write off the amount because an amount of time had lapsed, hence the write-off that we made against the savings that we had as a department. Understand facts.
Chair, the question on the transversal agreements, I think it's been raised before, and I have indicated that I can provide that information. I don't think that I don't know whether in the annual, because it's quite a bit of information. I mean, we have a report on all of the transversal agreements that have been signed with departments and with the private sector since the inception of the department. It might be one of those matters that's on the tracking tool, a commitment that they made to provide that information. I will use next week to go through the tracking tool and provide the information, Chair, and you can then indicate to us whether that is adequate for in terms of what the committee would like to know or how you would like us to deal with it. On the definitions
I think that will be appropriate because we are of the view that we have not found one another in terms of the actual understanding of what a transversal, what would inform a transversal agreement. In many times we have, when the department is reporting back to us, we feel that the department is referring to either a memorandum of agreement or a bilateral agreement and is calling that transversal agreement. In one occasion, I even went to an extent of drawing four lines and then one line across the four lines, which indicates that that is the difference between a transversal agreement and a bilateral agreement. So a department cannot sign a transversal agreement with one department. A transversal agreement will bind a number of departments on the basis of a particular project that has to be achieved. Like, for instance, in agriculture, in the promotion of cooperatives that are in agriculture, you then have to sign with a number of departments that have to provide different services for those cooperatives that are involved in agriculture to take off the ground. That is our understanding of the transversal agreement. We are therefore requesting that the department provide us with more information on the transversal agreements that have been signed so that we can have a better understanding of what actually informs those transversal agreements. What is it that will come out as a result of a signed transversal agreement between the department and other departments?
Chair, we will provide that information. On the definitions of small businesses, Chair, no, we are not ready to bring the legislation to the committee. I think we have indicated in previously that, I mean, I think the committee far better than us know what the whole procedures, what needs to happen. I mean, it's a prescribed process, and we indicated that we will be ready to bring the bill, the amendment bill, into the parliamentary process in the 2018. But And the work that we're doing to that, prior to that, is to reach consensus with the sectors that will be impacted. And Honourable Kruger is absolutely correct. That is the definition that has got to be used across government. And currently, as the definition in the current, the 204 definition as it stands, I think it's about 8 sectors that looks at construction, agriculture, etc., etc. So it appreciates that the definitions are different for different sectors, and it
And within it, it will talk to micro, small, medium, etc., and across three proxies, namely employment, assets, and turnover. Mm. So the work that we did, and we also did an international comparison, is so how do we update that? We are aware, for example, and so we have taken that, the work chair, to, for example, our National Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee. And so we are aware that, in fact, this work that started when I was heading agriculture, where they're doing a, I think it is sort of a classification, terminology. How do you define a smallholder and what are the proxies? What's a smallholder farmer? What's an emerging farmer? Et cetera, et cetera. And so we, that work is being done in partnership with the different departments, so that it's enabling and not limiting. On the questions of the other questions around. The CEDA questions, my Honorable Kruger, and CFO questions, I will leave this to CFOs to answer. The CEOs. and Honorable Mabasa's question. I'm going to ask him, Zor, just to talk to the question on the Nestle, where some of the details maybe of that partnership, so the other partnership agreements can be understood. But that will also be, I think, in that those partnerships share, the one that we bring on transversal agreements, we will include the information with the private sector ones. But please answer that one.
All right. Thank you very much, Didi. So the partnership with Nestle involves the recruitment of, well, it's a three-year partnership. And this year involves the recruitment of about 50 micro distributors who will be responsible for distributing Nestle products to about 250 stores, including supermarkets and spaza shops throughout the country. So Nestle will then provide a stipend of 7,500 a month to the micro distributors, and will provide market access to them through discounted prices for their products. And they will also be providing business development services, which will be working collaboratively with CEDA on that. And it is then expected that these micro distributors will, as their businesses grow, then be in a position to employ people to also work with them in the distribution business. So the department will participate and fund the initial stock buying by the 50 micro distributors. So we will use the Small Enterprise Development Program, which we use to support our startup businesses, and then we will acquire stock for the micro distributors, and then moving forward, when the market access element is in place, then they will be able, we hope, to sustain their businesses over time. So in the next year, more micro distributors will be recruited. It is planned that over the three-year period, about 350 micro distributors will be recruited through the program.
So, who has done marketing in the department? Who is trained in marketing as a subject?
I don't know if you're able to answer that, Chair, but I mean, we do have a team who've been working in that area. And I'd like to think that they're doing quite well, considering that they might not have, I don't know what the qualifications of people are, but they actually have been doing well. I think it's one of our success stories in terms of the number of private sector agreements and how they're driving the implementation plans.
Honourable Minister.
Chairperson, can we be told to what products are we talking about, firstly? And secondly, what discount, if there's a discount involved, how much discount are they given to make this profitable and to make this a worthy cause for the department? Thanks.
Chair, the agreement with Nestle has just been signed in the fourth quarter. I mean, this and the one that is the longest in existence is the one with SAB Miller. And I mean, I don't think we've got with us the detail on the question that has just been asked by Honourable Meshwa, but we certainly can include, make it as inclusive as possible in the submission that I said I will bring on the agreements.
Honourable Meshwa.
Chairperson, I want to find out if an agreement was made without talking about the product. What's the agreement about? Because if it is going to be involved the commodity, there must be a product that is being spoken about, a product that is needed by the people who are going to be involved in the transactions.
Mina, I would want to stop this. I would want us to revisit this one day, DG. And I'm sorry that you are becoming emotional. The question is not to say that your staff is not doing well. That's not the question. The question is whether scrutinizing what are the intentions of Nestle in the whole deal. Because big businesses thrive on profit and they make sure that their main interest is to reduce the cost of doing business and shift that cost to the next person. So the issue of the department having to finance small businesses and them getting a stock in a discounted manner, a discounted amount, and getting 7,500 may look lucrative today, but those people will have to buy cars in order to distribute. They will have to promote the product in order for them to be known. And that is what has happened in the transportation industry. When the companies laid off the drivers and then said they are hiring them as the service providers to the companies, the companies were running away from having to buy the cars, and they were shifting that cost to the drivers that they were paying pension to, bonuses, medical aid, and all other things that come with the employment of a person. But also they were shifting the cost of doing business to the drivers. And if you were to go back to those drivers and find out if they were able to sustain their businesses, they did not sustain their businesses because those deals were not negotiated with that in mind. So the question is not about the officials having not done well. The question is in relation to the department seeking technical advice to people that are well capacitated in terms of negotiating those deals. We would never judge your officials here, but our interest is to protect the very small business that is being assisted, because this small business is getting 7,500, but this small business has to buy a car in order to distribute this product, and the department has to finance that. So the person who is benefiting more than the small business, who is a small distributor, is Nestle. But we will visit that one day. Let us proceed.
Thank you, Chair. The advice is well taken on the exploitation and the risks that are transferred and not absorbed by the private sector. On the question on underspending, when we agree with the Honourable Mombasa, I think we are on record to have said in this meeting that we, I think there's consensus among us that the budget available for this incredible mandate we have to, we need to deliver is inadequate. And therefore, it is indefensible that even the money that we have, we were unable to spend it. We've been in constant conversation with Treasury about that. And it is, I mean, we've been monitoring, we've reported before that we do monthly performance check-ins, we do quarterly performance check-ins, and we try and understand and unlock what part of the problem is, what the problems are, and what we should be, what we should do about it. We've indicated earlier that I think what we've learnt about performance management last year is that we were not digging deep enough with the questions. The example that I gave on CIS, where we, the reason given for the underspending is the reliance on a DTI system. Now, we really, it's something we should have sorted it out. We do have, I think Treasury has got empathy for us in terms of our capacity issues, and that we have a task team on working, a special task team working with Treasury in how we will prepare for and what we will focus on in our next budget bid, which is due towards the third week of June, July. On the SysMeth exhibition, the 110 cooperatives, there were a number of questions that were asked. Okay.
The question that was asking that DG was still talking budget was, what is the value of Gazelles in relation to the allocated budget? I'll give two percentages, Chairperson. The estimated amount is, as I think CEO CEDA has already indicated, that this was our first tranche of Gazelles, looking at 40. They should be receiving support of $1 million each, which would then translate to $40 million. And if you translate that to a percentage of our baseline allocation of $1.3 billion, it would be 3.03%. However, if you remove everything else and just compare that to the overall transfers that we have, it will be 40 million out of 1.1 billion, which translates to 3.6%.
The question around the Gazelles is not only on the support to each Gazelle. It's also the
value.
No, it's also the amount of money that is spent in processing all that, because there is money that is spent besides the money that goes directly to the Gazelle.
So ask the CEO of CEDA when they respond to maybe just talk to the Gazelles, because there was a recent evaluation on the Gazelles. So do you want to do it straight away, Chair?
That question is similar to the question we are asking in relation to the incubators. How much is spent on the incubator, and how much is spent on the incubatee, and what are the results? Because you can't only look at what is spent on the incubatee. You should also look at what is spent on the incubator, so that you can then see who is benefiting more. Is it the incubatee or the incubator?
Chair, I know that there is a, I hear the question, and I think it's in line with the questions that you ask us from time to time on the impact. So if you do that, what is the impact of that? Maybe we must relook how we report next year. In a way, I understood that if we come here, we must look at what's in the APP that you have and that you have approved. Maybe we must sit with you and say, how do we change this to report on the in a way that that meets your expectations? But I can say on the gazelles, for example, there is a report that is available, and again, it is something we can use that as case studies. You know, the questions you're asking around incubators and incubatees, gazelles versus the actual beneficiaries and other sectors we're supporting, because I think you want us to do almost like a cost-benefit analysis. So maybe we... Yeah? We've done it, yeah. I can't give you that cost-benefit analysis offhand.
Thank you, maybe let me start on the last parts that have already been touched, because the two questions I meant to fill them to the CFO. The first one is our spending on the gazelles. We just recently did some analysis, having come back from another meeting where I had to talk about the same. So I think he's ready to provide detail on that. And the other one is on the incubators. He'll just give random figures to say average how much we dispense to incubators, but I will cover the last portion to the question that says how much goes to the incubatee. We don't have that figure with us, how much goes to the incubatee. It's only recently that we have started to say, let us recognize that our support is not just only to the incubator as the organization. We must drill deep and understand what is happening inside the incubator in terms of trickle-down benefits to the incubator. So we are only now starting to gather that information. But on that one, I may as well use an example, because there was a question around an incubator that was visited in Soweto. I think my response will explain exactly what we say when we say now we are beginning to look inside the incubator. At the moment, of our portfolio is CEDA of incubators, we don't have one in Soweto. We have had one in Soweto before, which was called Seconda, something like that, Seconda. And that incubator is no longer part of our portfolio because of one reason. They did not want to comply to what we wanted in terms of how things should happen in the incubator, so that we make sure we realize more value, value that will also benefit the entrepreneurs. So we are looking at different mechanisms now. Our arrangement with that incubator, we had to halt the agreement.
You see, why we are asking this question? In Mpumalanga, we came across a CEDA incubator working with a cooperative in agriculture. And this cooperative says to us, we ask for assistance because our sweet potatoes have got a sauce, and they are very tasty, and SPA would want to buy them. And that's why we needed to be assisted. Then we interrogate the incubator as to how many times do you come? So they take us to the field, and we arrive there. The same problem that the cooperative needed assistance on is still in persistence. No change has happened. And then we ask the incubator. The incubator is supported by SIDA to assist these people. Okay. Comes twice a month. The sweet potatoes are still the same. They are not supplying spa. And the incubator dilly-dallies in terms of telling us how much you are paying them. And right at the end, when I'm alone working with him, he tells me. But not in an open meeting. Okay? And then in the open meeting, when you have identified this problem, what do you do as an incubator? I write the report to SIDA. So if the role of the incubator is to identify the very same problem that the cooperative identified without the incubator, and then I write a report to SIDA, what is SIDA paying the incubator for? So what we want to get at is where the money is going to. The money is supposed to assist the small business and the cooperative, not the incubator and the service provider. So if you started by not looking at how the incubatee develops, you started on a wrong footing. Because you only responded to what the incubator told you. You are not responding to the needs of the incubatee.
Thanks, Chair. I will give to CFO and then I'll continue from there.
Thanks, Thanks, Honorable Chair. On the gazelles as well, if one look at our slide 55, where we indicate the amount that are allocated to the programs. The amount that is allocated to the gazelles, 40 million is for the grant and 20 million is for the operations. In total, it's 60 million. Now, if one takes that 60 million versus the amount that is allocated to the program, the amount that is allocated to the program is 615 million. That's 431 plus 184. It's 615 million. Now, 60 million versus 615 million is 9.8%. And with gazelles, we speak of 40 clients, which will be presidential gazelles, but in total, it's 200 clients that are taken care of with the gazelles. Yes, you admit that the numbers of clients that are participating in the gazelles are low, because it has been proven that when you now look at the upper end of the market, the amount that one spends on those clients is low, is higher versus the amount that one spends on small clients. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
So if we talk of 200 clients, if we translate that to 1 million, am I interpreting correctly that we are now talking 200 million, you know, or am I reading something incorrectly? If we say 200 clients, and we say each client gets 1 million, then it means we're talking 200 million. Am I reading correctly?
Chair, what I'm saying is that out of the 60 million that is spent on gazelles is to do the interventions for 200 clients. I don't know whether, Chair, is that clear?
I think I do get the question, Honourable Mabasa. The amount that CFO is referring to, it's not the same amount that you are referring to when you are talking about the 1 million. The 1 million incentive grant is an additional amount that the Gazals could apply for as an incentive. And this incentive is only for the top 40 Gazals. It's only the top 40 that can make applications for the 1 million.
So what must I do to become one of the top 40 gazelles?
Chair, I'm wondering if you can't come and make a presentation on the gazelle. There was a presentation that was done before on what the criteria is and what the selection process is. We've done, I think, an evaluation of the first phase. We've just done the second cohort, and we are about to announce the second cohort. We can give some of that. I want to propose we come and do a presentation and answer all of those questions, Chair.
Are we done with all the questions?
No, Chair. There's so many questions. Mm-hmm. Chair, the question I was going, there were several questions on slide 13 on SysMeth. And I want to say to Honourable Mabasa, no, the spaza shops and informal sector will not be represented in it. And as Chairperson says, it's an international exhibition, Chair, and we went there last year to have a look at what happens there. I mean, it's there from Latin America, from Tanzania, from India, everywhere. And so it will not be your spaza shops and informal traders. It would be, and there is a theme, and the exact wording, I was trying to scroll my documents here now, the exact wording of the, there's a theme for it, but it has to do with innovation. And there are various things that happen besides the fact that because we are co-hosting, they give us, South Africa gets free exhibition space. There are different things that are sponsored by the Chinese. There's also, I mean, in the place where it happens, there are several floors, and the one floor also provides opportunities for pitching, where they will match, because it would be enterprises that are globally competitive, who have got a product that they are ready to expand and that they are ready to go to market with. So we do not have the budget for that. The budget still for trade exhibitions and trade promotion sits with the DTI. And before we could make the commitment that we can participate and co-host, we have to engage with DTI. I think it's the Export Trade and Investment Division that they would support the SMMEs that will go along. So CEDA went on the exploratory mission with us, and CEDA is involved with us in that process. So there are, and SMMEs have to compete. There are certain criteria that are set in terms of to determine. I think if DTI is the expertise in trade promotion and trade exhibition, we from our side engaged with, I wrote to all of the HODs of the provinces to advertise and popularize the opportunity in their provinces. We invited them to meetings. We had a public advert around that so that we made it as broad as possible. I remember seeing a recent report and being quite disappointed that only about 4 of the provinces responded to the...
Just so that my question is answered properly, let me simplify it and say, if we look at the whole of Soweto, is it possible to give me 2 businesses that will be going there? I say this noting that we are we are focusing on small, medium, and cooperatives. So just so that I visualize, because right now I don't understand.
Chair, I don't know if we're there yet in the process, whether the final SMME is that, because this exhibition is in October, and I don't know whether we're there yet, whether we have selected the businesses. I'm trying to explain what the process is, and I can, and in fact, just last week or the week before, there was a team with an organizing a meeting with the Chinese organizing committee, and I can get a report on that. But I don't think that the enterprises have been selected as such. There's been an application process. We can, and I know that Gauteng was one.
How many out of those that are competing there, how many are from Soweto? Just roughly, not exact.
I'm unable to answer that. I'm not on the adjudication committee.
I'm making this point, persistently, because our department has to focus on small businesses and cooperatives, informal businesses, all those micro businesses. And at the same time, I must get the feeling that the target group that are mandated, you know, whose interest we are to look after, I must get a feeling that we are doing that as members of parliament. Because if accidentally we find that it's a relatively big business located in town, I mean in Johannesburg, let me put it that way, which goes there, and no single business in Soweto qualifies to go there. And when I say Soweto, I could complicate it further by saying Limpopo, you know, Eastern Cape, you know, these rural places. But when I say Soweto, at least I'm talking of a place that's relatively medium developed. So if we can't get the candidates from Soweto, it's even worse when we get to other provinces relative to the specific category that the department should specialize in focusing on.
For me, the interesting part is that, yes, it is an exhibition, but my question was, have we had one in South Africa before we do the international one? And are we not duplicating what is supposed to be done by trade and industry? And also, in all the presentations, the department is very thin on technical training to develop the technical skills. The training that comes out in all the presentations will be training on governance of cooperative financial management, all the soft skills, but the hard skills that actually make a business to tick. If you are in agriculture, you must know how to plant things. And if you are in construction, you must know how to make a brick, how to repair a road. The department is very thin on technical skills training, very thin. And as a result, when we go out on oversight, we don't see quality goods. As much as there is money for training. And also we don't see the speed of the department when it comes to technical skills of cooperatives. There is a very relaxed manner in ensuring that the cooperative training academy takes off the ground, which will then ensure that the kind of training that is provided to those cooperatives is an accredited training, and it is an adequate training that is going to make those people to have the adequate technical skills that are required. There is very little that is said by the department in terms of its relationship with the technical colleges. That's why we are worried that before we even have a national exhibition of SMMEs and cooperatives, we want to participate in an international exhibition. And my last comment was that part of our APPs? And if it was not, how does it then get prioritized? And I'm sure we will reflect on that when we deal with the tracking tool. The content advisor is advising that he has captured all the questions. And in the interest of time, he is suggesting that he will forward the questions that have not been responded to, so that both the department and SEDA and CIFA can then respond to those questions in writing. In the interest of time, because we already have the Auditor General office here, and we haven't had lunch, so we also have not dealt with the tracking tool. What is the view of the members of the committee on that advice that is coming from the content advisor? Honorable Mabasa and Honorable Lau.
No, I move that we remove that suggestion from the content advisor.
Chairperson, I don't know how long maybe the AG, are they going to be with us? I was thinking if the AG, they're going to be with us maybe for 1 hour or two, we can just adjourn this program, then we again go on again complete, except if people are tired, but, you know, we fight us, we always work.
I agree with the advice or recommendation by content advisor and Honorable Mabasa. The discussions we need to have with the AG is crucial. So I would suggest that the outstanding answers be written back to us, and that we continue after lunch with the Auditor General. Thank you.
Can we then take a 30-minute break? We have a finger lunch there. I had actually indicated in the beginning that the meeting with the Auditor General will be a closed session.
I was the first time.